So we on Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, which says, "You shall not steal." The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 28. "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need."
Thank you, Jan. And thank you for that testimony. It's so wonderful to hear that God is a healing God. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Entrapment. It's with Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones. At the beginning, Catherine Zeta-Jones is seen going down a building on all this very sophisticated zip wire and stuff like that, and she steals a piece of artwork. And it actually ends up in the hands of Sean Connery's character, who basically steals it from the mailroom. She tries to mail it to this person, and he just steals it from the mailroom. And I used to teach Latin American studies, and the Spanish used to go over and steal Latin American gold. And we're not stupid, we British. We wait until the Spanish came over in their galleons, and then we stole from them. Drake in Latin America is called Drake the Pirate. So if we can have the... There. Oh, it's slightly different there. There you go. Don't steal. That is the passage today. Don't steal. Two words. And I have put another three words to it: possessions and power. Stealing. Now, we, just like murder, are unlikely to murder. We are unlikely, as Christians, to go around robbing the mailroom. In fact, I would have to rob the mailroom because I couldn't go down on the zip wire to steal it from the offices, because I'd have a bad back and kind of be struggling for the rest of the time. But stealing is still something that we as Christians should think about, because stealing is actually... Okay. I'm hanging. Okay? Oh. Here we go. I've got no possessions and no power. What am I doing? No, it was on. It's just it was on mouse instead of... I've never come across that one before. I've made lots of mistakes with PowerPoint, and that's one that I've not made before, so I'm rather proud of it. So thank you very much, Reese. So to steal is to take power over that which belongs to somebody else or somebody else with the intention of depriving the owner of the benefit of that possession of using for one's own benefit, like Haribo's, for example. We are depriving the other of what they need. So when I'm talking about stealing, I'm not talking about nicking the pens from Argos. Okay? Let's just get the idea that Argos pens, you put the pens out, they're going to go. Okay? So if you want to keep your horrible little plastic pens, tie them down to the desk. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something actually a lot more serious. Excuse me, cough. So when we think of a thief, do we think about that? That's Robin Hood in Nottingham. And it says, historical note, until his life destiny was further clarified, Robin Hood spent several years robbing from the rich and giving to the porcupines. The Fireside Cartoon. I love that one. That's really... So is that a thief? Or are these thieves? If you're walking down the road and you see a bunch of kids coming down the road, do you think, oh, they're going to rob me? Of course, the guy on the right, he's got a bag and it says swag on it. So it must be, he must be a thief. Or, oopsie daisy, or are these thieves? Michelle Moan, venture capital firms, Elon Musk. They should have known the top left one is a guy called Bernie Madoff. I mean, seriously, with a name like Bernie Madoff, somebody should have come to the conclusion that he wasn't honest. Or, Or is it these? The International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization. We can steal in many ways, and there are two types of stealing that sociologists talk about. Active stealing, which is purposefully taking something from somebody with the purpose of depriving them of their possession. But there's also passive stealing, which is actually far more important to us. And we can do it. And no, I would be as bold as to say we do it. We tend to think about different sins and we like to kind of grade them. And we think that, you know, so how long do you get for murder? 6 years in jail. How long do you get for the cryptocurrency guy who got how many years? 250? 2005, I can't remember. But it's a living in a way that means that others' lives are harmed by our own activity. That we can steal passively without knowing about it. Now, I found this extremely uncomfortable to prepare. Because I realize that God sees me with a bag on my back that says swag. That I am a thief. I act in certain ways that steal from the poor, from the vulnerable, from the earth. And ultimately, we all steal from the earth. Now, I know the first name of this next slide, don't react to it. I've done this before. Karl Marx. Not many places you can quote Karl Marx in a sermon, but I'm going to. Because in this, he was right. The fetishism of money is the illusion that money brings happiness, fulfillment, has its own productive powers, and has an existence independent of human beings. He was plagiarizing Jesus. Because Jesus said the same sort of thing. It's an illusion. I remember a friend of mine in Argentina who was writing a commentary on the New Testament. He said, how come the commentary, the Bible commentary in English, doesn't mention money? Money's all over the place in the New Testament. There's so many parables about what we do with our money. It's not what we think about our money, it's what we do with it. The Apostle Paul said the love of money, now get this, please, this is misquoted constantly. Everyone goes, oh, money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. Money's paper. Money is just stuff. The love of money, the desire for more money, the desire to have what that which, to put it in Christian terms, the desire to have that which God has not given you. Because that's what it was in Israel, wasn't it? God provided this great land flowing with milk and honey. And you go, thanks God, but I'm going to have that as well. Achan. Do you remember Achan in the Bible? Drops through the bottom of his tent because he wanted more. And we can think we deserve money. And there are laws in the Old Testament. Now you can tell I've just done some teaching on the Old Testament, can't you? And these laws, I'm going to have my glasses. Because this is far too small to read for you and for me. Please, there you go. Oh, I can see that better. No one shall take a mill or upper millstone in pledge, for that would be taking a life in pledge. A pledge, if you loan somebody something, they normally give you something that you keep if they don't pay it back. But you mustn't take the livelihood of another, because if you do, you're stealing. When you make a loan of any kind to your neighbor, do not go into their house to get what's offered to you as a pledge. Stay outside and let the neighbor whom you are making the loan bring the pledge to you if the neighbor is poor. Do not go to sleep with their pledge in your possession. Return it by sunset so that your neighbor will sleep, can sleep in it. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of a widow in pledge. That's my money. But God says, it's their life. You take that, you steal. It's really hard, isn't it? I find this really quite hard. And if anybody's a bailiff here, I'm very sorry about that. But that's what that middle one says. Don't go into the house. Don't violate the person's house. Let them offer it to you. We looked at this law last Saturday or the Saturday before of gleaning. I'm scared it'll go on too far. If you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the widow, for the foreigner, the fatherless and the widow. So when the Lord your God may bless you in the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go with the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grape in your vineyard, do not go over the vines twice. Leave what remains. It is allotted to the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. And literally, it is belongs to them. Doesn't belong to you. Belongs to them. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it's hard. It's very hard. It belongs to them, it doesn't belong to us. Our excess, it makes me question for me what I do with the excess of money that I have. Am I thieving, actually? Or am I remembering? Oh, sorry, going too far. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I'm commanding you to do this. It all goes back, doesn't it? It always, always goes back to God's actions in salvation. God saved you. You're not losing your salvation. You're simply disobeying him. Because we've been given so much. And I'm not talking about a bag of Haribos. I don't think I've ever got so much out of a bag of Haribos in my life for a sermon. But it goes beyond that. We're so privileged. God has given us all this stuff. And in the New Testament, I should say, well, it's the Old Testament, isn't it? It's law. You've got to please God through law. No. It goes in the New Testament. There was a rich man. Oh, sorry, I've gone on. Yes. There was a rich man dressed in fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The rich man was in Hades and in agony and in fire, but Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus received bad things. Now he's comforted here and you are in agony. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to anybody who rises from the dead." And I heard a sermon one time. I'm not going to say who preached that sermon. And it was nobody here, by the way. It was a very famous preacher, which is another way of saying nobody here, because none of us are famous here. And they said, why was the rich man in Hades? Because he didn't believe in Jesus. Phew, that's interesting. Not what it says in my Bible. What it says in my Bible is that he walked past the rich man, Lazarus every day and did absolutely nothing about it. Nothing at all. He didn't even give them the scraps from his table. The dogs had to treat him. And of course, dog saliva, you can get they're good for licking wounds. So, the rich man was stealing from the poor man. And Jesus told another parable. He said, the ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves and are not rich towards God. So this man thought that it would be really good if he built bigger barns, because he was going to store up loads of stuff for himself. And there's so much anxiety in this world today because of money. The story of the seeds, the seed falling among the thorns, refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, remember what Mark said, chokes the word, making it unfruitful. God doesn't want us to be in need, but he wants us to be free from the love of money. And you think about our Lord. Think about Jesus. Please, think about Jesus all the time. Don't stop thinking about him. Think about him. He owned nothing. The birds have their nests. The foxes have their dens. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay, he said. Didn't need to worry that he was going to get stuff nicked. Well, I left all my doors open last night by mistake. Well, not open. I mean, unlocked. And I thought, oh dear, what would have happened if somebody come? Oh dear. But I live in Stevenson Way in Bourne. And it's unlikely that anybody's going to nick stuff from me. But there's anxiety in that. I'm going to move on a few slides because I've talked too long. I'm going to go to that one. Come on, say it louder. My precious. The ring he loved and he hated. And no one can serve two masters. Either one, you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. As the Americans would say, bam! Jesus gives it this full in the face. You cannot serve me and serve money as well. Either you will, and this is typical Jewish rhetoric, you will hate me and love money, or you'll hate money and love me. And we have a choice. And that those verses that Jan read to us from Ephesians, don't be like the Gentiles. They're futile, they're darkened in their understanding, they're dead in their trespasses and sins, they're ignorant, they have hard hearts, they have no sensitivity. And the indulgence and the sensuality that the Apostle Paul is talking about is nothing to do with sex. Because he says, and they're greedy for more. It's to do with money. So we can be greedy. And we can ignore God. But Paul says, put off your old self. Have a change of clothes. I used to work on a pig farm. Suits me, actually, working on a pig farm. Unlike the father of the prodigal son, my father did not embrace me and kiss me and put a ring on my finger. He said, take off those stinky clothes at the back door and go and get a bath. That's what he used to say to me. It's a change of self. It's a change of clothes. Put on the new self that's made new in your minds. Paul's very consistent. Renew your mind, your way of thinking. Do you know what the word for mind is? All you people from Yorkshire ought to know. Nous. That's what the word is. It's Greek. You know, people from Yorkshire don't realize they're speaking Greek, but they are. No, it's not because you can't understand them. It's because, no. Nous. Change your nous. Have good nous, not bad nous. Put off your old self. Put on your new self. Take away falsehood, be members of one body. That means sharing together. Here we are. We're all individuals. We all have our individual bank accounts. But God says, share your lives together. The great miracle, the first real miracle that Peter and John did in Acts. Do you remember which one it was? The man at the beautiful gate? And what did they preface it by saying? Thank you. Silver and gold have I none. I ain't got money. You want a doctor? I ain't got any money. You're going to beg from me? I haven't got any money. But I do have the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, who heals. And we've heard that this morning. You can see in this verse, actually, Paul is talking about murder, stealing, and lying. He's like those three commandments are taken up in this. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but work, doing something useful with their own hands, that may have something to share with those in need. This is one of my favorite passages, philosophically. Practically, it's rather more difficult, of course. work hard. And it was John Wesley, who said he earns as much as he possibly can so he can give it away. He never gave himself a pay rise. He wrote these books. He got more and more and more royalties all the time. He lived on exactly the same amount of money from the beginning to the end of his life because he gave it all away. My mother-in-law is the same. She is poor. She gives money away like water. It's unbelievable because she's taking seriously what it is to be a Christian. So what do we do to avoid breaking the eighth commandment? Recognize that your possessions and my possessions don't belong to me. They belong to God. And there's so much. Got two cloaks and somebody asked for one. Give it away. If they say, can you walk a mile for me? The Roman soldier walked two. And it's living a life, I would like to say happy-go-lucky, but that's not really the term. It's just like, I don't have anything to rob. It's just like, I don't have anything, so you can't rob from me. Everything belongs to God. I own nothing. And if I give, and people are like, oh, Paul, that's so generous. No, it's not. It's not generous at all. It's just simply giving to the Lord what he gave to me. Actually, a tiny percentage. We as Christians have a prophetic voice. Avoid and denounce commercialism. Dehumanizes. And let me just say, we do not by law, but I do not by ethics, tell people what to vote. I would never do that. That is an abuse of power. But I do tell people, please do vote. I don't mind what you vote. But do vote, because we have nothing to say if we don't. We can believe they're all the same. And Nick sent out last week a very useful piece about how to think about voting. And we need to denounce commercialism, because like I said, ultimately we steal from the earth. Everything comes from the earth. Everything that we use comes from the earth. Use your money for the good of others. It's a lot of fun because they won't believe you're doing it. An example, we were in Argentina and a friend of mine invited us to a barbecue, as you do. And there was a lady who walked past where we were having the barbecue, and she had just gotten out of jail, actually. And she didn't have anything, so come on. Come join the barbecue. Have we got enough? We'll be going to buy some more, will we? So I went and spent a lot of money on meat. Sorry to those who are vegans and vegetarians, but in Argentina, you eat a lot of meat. But use it for the good of others. We are no longer slaves. We do not need to be slaves. We choose to be slaves to money. We have been freed by Jesus Christ. He has freed us from this. All this rubbish he has freed us from. We do not need to worry. We just need to say, thank you, Jesus. And the rubber hits the road when we start thinking, how complicit am I? Yeah, a few Banksies are always useful in a sermon. I'm not going to comment on any of them, but we know what's going on. We know what's going on in Ukraine. We know what's going on in Gaza. We should know what's going on in the Central African Republic. We should know what's going on in India or Pakistan. And then we become responsible. And God wants us responsible because he is. So, I always leave you with the blank screen. This week, recognize how much we have. It was built on the back of the slave trade, but just recognize we do. Give time to prayerfully think about the way we live. There's that verse which Jesus, what's that parable? What do they call the parable? The publican and the Pharisee? And Jesus says, if you are offering your offering at the altar and you realize that your brother has something against you, not you have an argument in church, but you're living in such a way as to make your brother have something against you, go put it right. Then make your offering. Consider, how often do I fly? What do I buy? What's the source of my food? How far has it traveled? Fast fashion, I've really got to think about that. I don't know why anybody's laughing. Okay, so everything I am wearing is from a charity shop, except my shoes. All of these things can be stealing, but what God wants us to do is to think about it. If we say prayerfully afterwards, okay, Lord, it's the right thing to do. It's okay. We can do it, but we've got to think about it first of all. We can't just assume that it's right. We need to think. And that is a response to God's salvation in Jesus Christ. It all goes back to him. He hung on that cross so that we didn't need to treat people as he was treated. I'll say it again. He hung on that cross so that we do not need to treat people how he was treated. I'm sorry if I've offended anybody by anything I've said, and please try and forget it. But also, please do take seriously the challenge that God gives us in living free. We are born free. Everywhere there is chains. And money is the biggest chain. So let's live as the giving God.